I'm James Orr, and I was born August the 12th, 1938, in Cherokee County, Georgia. I've lived in Cherokee County all my life, in and around Canton, and presently living in the Clayton community of Cherokee County. One of the main things that I can remember in the 50s that really had an impact on my life, I knew this boy in school who developed polio and was left an invalid in a wheelchair, but later got better and was able to come back to school and to go to high school. As some boys were pushing him down the hall one day in school, running and playing, he fell out of the wheelchair and was severely injured, and as a result of that injury, later died. And his name was Tommy Baker, the son of Howard and Mary Baker, and a brother to Elliot Baker. And as a result, the football field at Cherokee High School, the stadium, was named in his honor. So in 1955, when Dr. Salk invented the polio vaccine, that I can really remember, because it had a great impact on my life, because I thought, oh, if it could have just been earlier, so maybe Tommy could still be with us. But of course that's not possible, but it really had an impact on my life. As I was in high school, I was in Old Canton High School, and then I was a member of the first graduating class of Cherokee High School in 1957. That was a most memorable year, because we, being seniors, we were the cock of the walk, and we just, as a senior, we lacked a lot of conveniences that they have in high school today. That being the first year, we didn't even have a home room. The whole senior class was in the cafeteria, and we had three home rooms in one, all in the cafeteria. And of course, being a new school and a bigger school, the high school from Waleska had been consolidated with Canton High to become Cherokee High, and so we had it was a lot bigger school than we've been used to having, and we had a new dietitian in the lunchroom, the lunchroom wasn't set up as it is today. There was no sandwich lines and all. It was just a hot plate, and that was it. So a lot of us kind of rebelled against that and brought our lunch one day and sat out in the hall and made a big circle, and several gathered around and was laughing and disturbing the class. And so as a result of that, the principal carried about 15 of us in and gave us a whipping. And so it was a very memorable time. But we had a lot of fun our senior year, and of course the highlight of the year was the junior senior prom. And that was when the song "White Sport Coat and Pink Carnation" was popular. So the majority of the guys, instead of wearing tubs, we wore white sport coats and pink carnations and black pants and white buck shoes, and we really thought we were something. So from high school, I went to Reinhardt College the next year in 1958, and went 1 year there, and then the following year in 1959 went to Middle Georgia College in Cochran, Georgia. And after completing the 2 years, I I decided not to go on and get my 4 years. So I went to work with Civil Services, U.S. Department of Agriculture, as a meat and poultry inspector, and have been there the rest of my working life. But in 1961, in December of 1961, let me back up a minute there, because in 1960 was the first president's race, the first election that I voted on. And I voted for President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, and was very saddened then at his death in 63. But in 61, December the 7th, 1961, 20 years after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, I was drafted into the Army. I went to Columbia, South Carolina, took my basic training there, then from there to Fort Gordon, Georgia for MP training, and then to Fort Bragg, North Carolina for the remainder of my time. And I was in the MPs, and we were specialists in riot control. So we were called on quite a bit in riot situations. And in 1963, when James Meredith integrated Ole Miss, we were on alert for a few days and then were called in. When things got out of hand down on the campus, we were called in and had to break up the situation down there, and it really got out of hand, because by the time we got there, two people had already been killed that night. A reporter and a U.S. Marshal had been killed. And as we went up on the campus that night with our gas mask on around our waist, well, they were throwing rocks and pieces of cement block at us, and I got hit on my gas mask with a piece of cement block and broke one of the lens out of my gas mask. And so a while later, we were having to try to disperse the crowd and with tear gas, and we'd throw tear gas at them, and they'd pick it up and throw it back at us. And so we had to put on our gas mask, and when I put mine on, one of the lens was gone. So I wasn't any better off, and I was standing there with the tears running down my eyes, and my captain came by and said, "What happened?" And I told him that one of my lens had been knocked out, so he told me to get back up on the Lyceum building there on the campus. And as I walked up on the steps there, the reporter's camera was laying there that he had just been killed a few hours before that, and his camera was still laying there on the steps as I was there. So as I think back, a lot of these things are still in my mind, and it's just, we had to stay there at the school the rest of the year. My battalion took it time about. Each company, one company would come and stay for a month and then go back to Fort Bragg, and another company would relieve us. So we would have to stay a month at a time until the entire school year was out. And it cost an awful lot of money, but I learned, being from the South, and how we were treated that night as we came onto the campus. And all those students were, well, they weren't all students, but they were all, the crowd anyway was all yelling and cussing and screaming and throwing rocks and all at us, and saying, "Yankee, go home, Yankee, go home." And the majority of us was from the South anyway, so really changed a lot of my views on how I felt and how I saw how stupid some people could act. And I mean, they took it for granted that because we were there protecting the black guy, that we was a Yankee and not a part of them. But it really changed a lot of my views. I didn't like the idea of, in the first place, of having to go to take on this task. But then as I became a part of it and saw how ugly people acted, it almost made you ashamed of being a Southerner. All of our trucks were, the windshields were broken out of them, the windows, they as we went under the underpasses of the railroad, they were up on top throwing cement blocks and cross ties down on our vehicles and broke all the windows out of our Jeeps and most of our trucks, and it was just an experience that I've never forgotten. And as I said, it would just almost make you ashamed that you were a part of them. As I said before, we spent the entire school year down there, off and on, a month at a time. We had the big tent cities set up. We had shower tents, and we had the mess hall tents. And it was just a very uncomfortable situation. Not only the facilities, but the idea of being there and for the purpose in which we were there. As I said, the majority of us were from the South, and at that time we didn't agree with what was going on in the first place, but we were defending our country, and they demanded us to be there, and so that we had to be a part of it. But it was a situation that I've never forgotten and never will. And of course, now as you look back, you can see that the blacks were mistreated, and that the move that they made, they had to do or stay in bondage the rest of their lives. And so, I believe in equal rights fully, and I think everybody, regardless of what color or religion or whatnot, ought to have the same opportunities as anyone else. But at that time, that's the way I grew up, and so I was certainly not in favor of the situation that I was in, but could not do anything about it.
Well, was any blacks hurt?
No, there was only one involved. It was James Meredith, and no, he wasn't hurt, but he would have been because the federal marshals were there protecting him, and they had him there on the campus in what they call the Lyceum building. The administrative buildings there on the campus, but he didn't, he wasn't hurt, but two other people were, one of the federal marshals and a photographer was both killed, and that's why they rushed us in. We were nearby, they flew us in by helicopter then there on to the edge of the campus and met us there in buses, Greyhound buses, and took us up onto the campus in the buses to get us there as quickly as possible because they'd already killed the two people. And that's, as I said before then, and we just lined up in front of the building up there, across the building to keep them away, and they were burning cars. They set cars on fire, turned them upside down, and it was just something like you see on television, that you think you'd never be a part of, but there it was in the midst of it. And it was just an experience that you never forget. And after the first night, there was really no major incidents happened after that, because they saw what force that we used in moving onto the campus that night and took control of the situation. And so they didn't like what was going on, but they they more or less accepted him.